Okay, thank you very much. So human activities leave traces, doors left open, footprints in the sand, receipts, browser cache contents, temp files, headers of IP packets, pixels on the screen of a GPS device, voicemail messages, flight prices on an airline website. Some of these might be things you've encountered recently. All of the traces can convey information. The vast majority are only play a role in their immediate context and then disappear for very good reason, and we would like them to. But sometimes we want them to stick around for a while. Collecting institutions have been in the business of caring for traces for a very long time. The traces within their care come in clusters. Right? We can deal with them in that way. All the data elements of a print document stick together as parts of a single document. The front matter of a book is kept with the book's main payload, to use the terminology. Professionals focus heavily on the integrity of aggregates, things like collections, forms, series, files, items, archival information collections, to use some of the prevailing jargon, archival information packages, right? These things that are managed together rather than discrete traces of just individual data points. With traces, all of the above, digital traces, all the above considerations apply, but there are a lot more digital traces. They're often highly distributed. They're across networks, across systems, across various data stores on a given computer. Use of computer systems encounter the traces in the form of files and documents, right? Users, that's us, right? We deal with files and documents. They don't attend directly to the various bits and pieces in general. Most cultural heritage professionals are also used to dealing with the file and document level in their everyday lives, right? The users are us, and we sometimes are cultural heritage professionals, at least some of us in the room. So how do you acquire personal papers from a floppy disk, right? Oh, that's easy. Right-click, copy, paste. This approach risks violating the integrity of materials and losing valuable metadata. Digital forensics has established principles, technologies, and methods for extracting data and associated metadata. A lot of things you're hearing about today, and a lot of people in the room have vastly more expertise on this than I do. I'm here just to report these messages. Two streams of activity show great promise for informing the practices of collecting institutions, and it's one of the reasons that I'm very excited about an event like today and to be part of this. One is a handful of innovative projects of collecting institutions exploring the application of digital forensics to acquisition. And we're very fortunate to have people from a number of those innovative projects here in the room. And the second is educational programs, both by vendors and academic programs, providing digital forensics training, primarily focused on the preparation of law enforcement officers and criminal investigators. There's currently no mechanism, I would argue, for connecting these two streams of activity. The Digital Acquisition Learning Laboratory, DAL, I guess we'll be calling it. This is breaking news, just found out about this being supported. Project at UNC SILS, funded by the Mellon Foundation, perhaps you've heard of them, is designed to make these connections. We'll create, administer, and implement a learning laboratory for the application of digital forensics to the acquisition of digital materials. So we're trying to make this connection between the kinds of tools and techniques that are out there and environments in which people are applying both a subset and an adapted set of these techniques that are appropriate ethically, professionally, logistically to digital collections in collecting institutions. So this includes training hardware and software for running practical exercises within courses. The big goals, I would say, this is relatively speaking a small scale project. It's about over a year to get these things underway. One is translation. So translating established models, methods, techniques, and resources into forms that are appropriate to information professionals, right? We've heard a bit about ethical considerations. There are logistical and technical considerations. What sort of background do you need? What terminology should be used? What are the subsets of functions? And the other is capacity building, right? So to actually do this well, my experience has been, not just in this context, but in professional education in general, ramping up to provide actual useful exercises for people is quite labor intensive. And once you've built the capacity, you really want to be able to sustain it. So training of the trainers, part of this project is going out. I've done some of this digital forensics training, but I and our IT director at our school are going to do more of this. Sustainable computer lab arrangements, incorporating this into our ongoing curriculum, so we have this as part of, for example, our electronic records course, so that it'll be regularly offered, and collaboration with collecting institution partners. So a very important part of this is that we have a connection to what institutions are actually doing who are trying to collect these materials, We're very fortunate to have a very good relationship with the Wilson Library at UNC that is responsible for a lot of personal papers and some of these messy collections that might be subject to these actions. Some of the big questions, there's certainly many more than three bullet points would warrant, but these are a few that I wanted to emphasize. One is which features of the software, in this phase we're using specifically Emcase and FTK because they're two of the big kind of vendors out there, relatively easy to incorporate this into the classroom because these are packages as opposed to piecing together a lot of open source software. That'll be most useful for digital acquisition training, right? Which parts of the functionality that are primarily designed specifically for criminal investigation will actually be useful for these kinds of tasks? What do they need to know to make the right decisions about applying the tools appropriately in collecting contexts, right? So sort of what background knowledge and sensibilities do you have to sit down at a machine that has this kind of software installed and actually use it appropriately in a collecting context? And then how much and what types of adaptation are required in making the translation from the industry's target audience to the cultural heritage audience, right? And this is in terms of exercises, what kind of tasks should they perform, what kind of terminology should we be using? I feel very strongly there's a vast body of kind of expertise, resources, and technologies that should be incorporated, but clearly an industry that's driven primarily by trying to find evidence on people's machines to use it as evidence against them is not exactly the model that we can simply map directly into the context of cultural institutions. We'll really have to work out what the best translations are. I look forward to more discussions about these sorts of initiatives. As I say, this is late-breaking news. I basically found out this project was going to be supported yesterday morning. I'm very anxious to discuss with those in the room how we can go forward collectively with some of these educational endeavors. Thank you.